Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Mod Hotep to everyone. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet, and this is our final program for what's known as Women's History Month. Well, we've got a few things we're going to put out there for you today in terms of, okay, yes, this was Women's History Month that many, you know, observed or embraced or whatever, but we're going to raise the question, and the question is, are we ready for our own month? Yes, absolutely. Are we ready for a Black Women's Appreciation and Awareness Month? Well, we are going to find out very soon. Now, our question for tonight when we do our open mic is, who would you select to be
recording
the woman, the Black woman that we are going to move forward and push for a holiday, a national holiday? We're going to be asking you later. Who would your selection be? Now, we've narrowed it down to three. Now, we've been working on this for quite a while. So now we've narrowed it down to three, and that is Saint Sojourner Truth, Saint Rosa Parks, and Saint Harriet Tubman. So a little later on, we're going to get some opinions from you all in terms of who do you think it should be. We'll get back to that later. However, for right now, I want to give a big shout-out again to those that joined us last week up at the United Nations. Big shout-out to my big brother, New World. New World Warrior was definitely in the house. Him and brother Ray Ray was there supporting. Our brothers was there supporting. And, of course, the sisters that was with us. Big shout-out to all of the sisters. And, man, it was really, really very, very productive, needless to say. We're going to give you a little more insight into what we were able to do last week when we were up there because, again, you know, it's not like we put a lot of faith or trust in certain things. That's not it at all. It's a process, and it's also a capability to meet people, to interact, and also to begin to engage in the kinds of ways that we need to. So that's what we were able to do. Now, with that said, we're going to give you some updates on how we're moving forward with the Commission on the Status of African Women and also the African Women's United Nations. That's also what we were looking to establish in going up there, and so we are doing that. The other thing we announced when we were there is the Million Women World March / Movement in support of the women and girls in the Sudan, in Haiti, and in the Congo. Now, here in Philadelphia, there was a big rally or whatever today at City Hall with primarily, it was said, it was the Muslim community who were doing prayers or whatever for there to be peace in Gaza. Well, again, and we understand that and we support that, but we also have to make it very clear that there has to be more said and done when it comes to Sudan, Haiti, and the Congo. And right now, particularly from our vantage point, when it refers to our women and girls. And so a lot of rapes are being reported coming out of Gaza. A lot of rapes are being reported coming out of Haiti, Sudan, and Congo. But you're not seeing or hearing a lot of that being addressed. Well, we're going to make sure that it is addressed, particularly as we get closer to May. May is, of course, a time that many focus on Mother's Day. And so we plan to do a rally in various cities to focus on raising up the mother of civilization and dealing with the issues of violence and abuse of our women and girls. So we're going to give you more information about that very shortly. While we're waiting for folks to come in to, hey, those who are in our blog, greetings to you. Those who are joining us on Facebook, greetings to you. And, of course, we're waiting for more folks to come into the Zoom. In the meantime, let's do this. We are going to, we do have a new Mumia Abdul-Jamal commentary, and you know we like to, whenever we get a new Mumia commentary, we like to share that with you. And so we are going to do that at this time. And also want to remind you that Mumia's Earth Day is coming up next month. We're still waiting to hear back from him to see how we want to proceed with the Mumia Abu-Jamal School of Journalism and also some other things relevant to working on Mumia's campaign for freedom. All right. So without further ado, before we go into some other segments, we're going to hear again from Mumia Abu-Jamal.
I'll picture a revolutionary life. The English poet William Wordsworth once said, "The child is the father of the man." Rarely has such an anecdote been so true as in the wild rebel life of Ralph Pointer. Pointer, a member of the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army, is perhaps best known, at least in recent days, as the man who fought hardest for the freedom of his imprisoned radical wife, lawyer Lynn Stewart. He stood alone in the sweltering Washington, D.C. summer sun for hours with a sign in front of the White House demanding her freedom. But a reflection on his youth shows an unusual child. One of six children of the Pointer family in a small steel town in western Pennsylvania called Vandergrift, a few miles from Pittsburgh. His father, George Pointer, was a union organizer there, and little Ralph would actually accompany him when he was just 6 years old. At 12 years old, he took pleasure at playing in the snow, making snowballs and throwing them as far as he could. One day, another union organizer saw the boy throwing snowballs and said to Ralph, "You're pretty good with that snowball, aren't you?" Ralph replied, "Of course. I can hit anything I aim for, no matter how far." The union organizer asked him to climb a hill overlooking the steel mill and explained to the boy that the union was on strike against the mill and the guys being driven there were scabs or men trying to take union jobs. He then asked Ralph to pack his snowballs with big rocks. Ralph did so. When he asked Ralph if he could throw these rock snowballs at the trucks that stood in front of the mill and hit their front windows, you could almost guess young Ralph's response. "Of course." Ralph threw for most of the day and hit exactly what he aimed for. That night, the union organizer went to Ralph's home and told his father that Ralph was very instrumental to the union's success at striking against the mill. Ralph Pointer helped the union before he even became a teenager. When he went to the local elementary school's third grade, he learned what his older brothers had learned years before. That colored boys, well, that's what they called them back then, couldn't go to school without encountering violence, as there were so few colored people in the town. Ralph was beaten, and his new hat and jacket made by his mother got messed up. When he saw how sad his mother was at seeing his state, he resolved to end it the next time it occurred. The next day, when his attackers came at him, he didn't run. Instead, he stood his ground and fought back vigorously. Before long, his attackers began to flee. He learned a life lesson about self-defense that would, years later, inform his political. Now the words of Ralph Pointer, quote, "Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our labors for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, moved lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outdoors again, unquote. Ralph Poynter. Ralph Poynter, steel worker, elementary school teacher, investigator for his lawyer wife, union brother, revolutionary, returns to his ancestors after 89 winters in America with love, not fear. This is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Prison Radio.
All right, again, that was, of course, Mumia Abu-Jamal. And, of course, we must continue to step things up and free Mumia, free all of our political prisoners. Again, Mumia Abu-Jamal's Earth Day is coming up, 70 years of age. And, of course, he has served over 40 of being incarcerated. And I believe 30 of that was on death row, which means he had 1 hour where he was able to, you know, go out and get some air or what have you. The point is, Mumia now has congestive heart failure. He has hepatitis. Well, he's a survivor of hepatitis C, but he still has some of the, you know, some of the remaining kinds of things that hepatitis C does. He also, of course, has high blood pressure and diabetes. And so without a doubt, Mumia needs to be free. The other political prisoners who were charged and sentenced with some of the same types of crimes allegedly that they did, they're all out now for the most part. They're all out. Those particularly that have served 40 years, they are out. All the Move 9 is out. Sunda Adeyakole is out. Of course, Sekou Odinga, who's now an ancestor, was out. Jalil Montague is out. So there's no real reason now for Mumia to still be incarcerated. He has served whatever time that they thought he should have served, but he should have never served none of that anyway. But nevertheless, he has served whatever time, and he needs to be freed. And so we're going to make certain that as we proceed with the Million Women World March and also the We Charge Genocide 21, that is going to be a focus, that we make sure that more of our people are made aware and certainly are able to get more involved, particularly black folks. And so we're going to go more into that, certainly as we get closer to Mumia's Earth Day, which is April the 24th. Sister Pam Africa advised me the other day that there is going to be a rally here in Philadelphia, so we'll certainly keep you abreast of that. And usually there's a whole lot of other things going on around that time as well, so we'll certainly keep you abreast of that. Okay, moving right along. Yes, this is our last program for Women's History Month. Now, tonight, we are going to feature three dynamo sisters. I call them powerhouse sisters to close this out for this women's history thing. But we want to also let you know that with MWWM, we have begun to put in place two things that focuses on specifically black women and history and legacy. One, the National Black Women's History and Legacy Program, and two, and there's others, but just going to give you two right now, and that is, of course, the National Black Women's Halls of Fame. Now, other folks have Hall of Fames, right? Well, don't you think it's time that we have our own? And the answer to that, of course, is yes, and so we shall. And so as a part of the Million Women World March, we'll be moving forward to get names and a nomination or nominations for those who you feel we should place into our National Black Women's Halls of Fame. Now, note I said halls with an S of fame because there's different categories, arts and culture, sports, athletics, science, you know, et cetera. So you will be able to get a lot of that information very soon and actually participate in who you would suggest should go into our halls of fame. Now, we're doing that for several reasons. One, we've found that the history of Black women is oftentimes dismissed, and that puts it mildly. Being here in Philadelphia, I can tell you firsthand how that has happened with the Million Woman March. But now that I've begun to research history of our women, I'm seeing how there's so many Black women, and I'm going to say specifically in the U.S. right now, even though our other program is more extended, meaning it's global. But for right now, we're talking about North America. And to now see and learn so much of our history of our women. In fact, I'm going to share one with you tonight. How many of you are familiar with Henrietta Wood? Well, I'm going to share a little information with you tonight about her, particularly folks who talk about reparations. It behooves us to know who some of these folks were that paved the way for us to be here today. And, of course, you've heard of Mother Callie House. But what you haven't heard probably is that with the Million Woman World March, we are going to advocate and push forward to have her name exonerated. For those that do not know, St. Callie House was, in fact, charged with mail fraud, just as the Honorable Marcus Garvey, and was, in fact, incarcerated for roughly a year. And shortly after she came out, she died, supposedly of cancer. So we know there was no mail fraud, and we're going to show the receipts and the evidence of that. The bottom line is, with the presidential election coming, when we talk about a Black women's agenda, political agenda, that needs to be one of the things that we present. St. Callie House needs to be exonerated. That needs to be removed from her record. Anyway, we'll go a little more into that a little later on. Let's get ready to talk with one of our powerhouse sisters for the night. And big ups to one of my sisters who, I'm telling you, she's doing such an incredible job. And we call it one of our sister stations, more or less. But I'm talking about Thorough Black Talk. The family over there, I mean, they had an incredible another one this past week. For those of you who are not in tune to Thorough Black Talk, I strongly suggest you check it out. Every Thursday, 8 o'clock, if you miss it, it's okay. You can catch it on YouTube, but the live stream, it just has another feel to it. So, and again, it's on YouTube and also on Facebook, I think. But the point is, y'all need to check it out. A lot of good information. And what I like is, you know, it's just straight to the point. I mean, it's clear, it's concise, and it just, you know, gives you what we really need, which is speaking that truth to power all across the board. So, again, big shout out to my sister, Keisha. We call her K-Fighter. And by the way, she indicated that her group Swamp is joining in for a Million Woman World March. They're coming on board. So New York, hey, we getting ready to get them sisters now coming in. Okay. Anyway, we'll give you more information on some of that as we move as well. But right now we're going to talk to, like I said, one of our powerhouse sisters. And she, of course, is one of our coordinators for the Million Woman World March, but she has an event coming up on Saturday, and I am going to be there. As a matter of fact, we're literally going to complete some of the next phases of establishing the Million Woman World March, because you know there's some logistical stuff that has to be done. And so when I'm in D.C. this week, we'll be finishing up some of that so we can get everything ready. Because it's a full week that's going to happen leading up to the mass assembly. You all are going to have somewhat of a parade or procession. In fact, the call has already been going out to sisters who want to be a part of the African Women's Percussion Orchestra. That means drum, shakare, clave, you name it, all kinds of percussion. And we have instructors. For those who sign up, you'll be able to get virtual instruction. So can you imagine thousands of African women, black women, with different types of handheld, primarily handheld percussion instruments, all together, unified. Oh, my gosh. Drums of all types. This is going to be incredible. Never seen nothing like that before. Anyway, one of our coordinators is getting ready to join us now. Let me see if Sister Janae Earl is ready to share with us something that's coming up in D.C. on Saturday. That's April the 6th, and it's called the Sankofa, the International Sankofa Conference. Sister Janae, are you ready to tell us going on and give us some updates? Uh-oh, I thought I saw her. Okay, I'm not sure what happened to Sister Janae. All right. Maybe we lost her. Okay, no problem. All right, we'll get back with her in a few moments. In the meantime, for those who are not familiar with Henrietta Wood, I'm going to share something with you briefly. And then, Blog family, we're going to come to you. I see a couple of hands up over there. And so just give me a few moments. We're going to go to some information on Henrietta Wood. Now, I want you to notice that this is a non-melanated person, right? There's a reason why I'm playing this, because there's another clip with the same person. And I want to be able to show, not that you don't know, but how other people take our history and run with it and write books about it. Anyway, check this out on Henrietta Wood.
Letters and Politics. I'm Ed Stesrich. Today we're going to be in conversation about the life, times, and legacy of Henrietta Wood, a woman who was born into slavery, freed, then kidnapped and re-enslaved, and not to be free again until after the Civil War. Now, it makes the story of Henrietta Wood unique is that she actually sued her kidnapper for monetary damages due to her re-enslavement, and she won, perhaps one of the few instances of reparations for slavery in U.S. history. My guest for this conversation is W. Caleb McDaniel. He is a professor of history at Rice University, and he is the author of the book Sweet Taste of Liberty, A True Story of Slavery and the Restitution in America. W. Caleb McDaniel, it's my very good pleasure to welcome you to our radio station. Thank you for being here.
Glad to be here.
Now, was I wrong to say this may have been one of the few instances of reparations for slavery?
Well, I think it's one of the few. What makes it unique in my mind is that it's probably the largest known sum of restitution that was ever awarded by a U.S. court in restitution for slavery. But there were other cases, even going back to the very early period of the nation's history in 1783, also a woman named Belinda Sutton, who successfully won from the estate of a former enslaver a small pension. In that case, though, it wasn't even clear that she received all of the money that she was awarded. And so Wood's case is unique both for the amount that she won and for the fact that there's evidence she was paid.
That's interesting, though. So there were several other lawsuits in the 20th century.
There were, and each one is somewhat unique and kind of grew out of the specific circumstances of that particular person's case. But I think what it does show is that the struggle for reparations has a long history. It's not something that has sort of just come up in recent years, although it's certainly gained some momentum in the public sphere over the last few years. It's something that enslaved and formerly enslaved people have articulated as their understanding of what freedom would entail really from the very beginning.
Was this a common strategy?
Well, litigation was one of the few ways that African Americans in the 19th century could have pursued restitution due to their political disfranchisement for much of the century. I think, you know, in more recent times, there's been a push to petition Congress and to turn towards legislation rather than litigation. But there's been a variety of strategies, and so I think that's important to note about the history of the reparations struggle is there's many organizations and many people in that history, and would, I argue in this book, should certainly be added to that list.
I have to admit, before I got your book, I never heard of the name Henrietta Wood. I imagine there are many others who haven't heard of Henrietta Wood as well, but this was a highly publicized case at the time.
You're right, and that's one of the things I confront in the book is that she is not well known, even among historians, even though in some ways her story has been hiding in plain sight for many decades. Partly because she gave two interviews in the 1870s, one of which was with a very well-known writer named Lafcadio Hearn, who went on to become a sort of literary figure in the 19th century, moved to Japan, and is sort of a household name there for his work chronicling Japanese folk tales. And there's sort of been a revival of interest in him among scholars in recent years. And all along, he has had sort of connoisseurs and who have collected his writings, and he began as a journalist in Cincinnati in the antebellum period, and he is one of the two journalists who interviewed Wood in that period. So that story, the article, appeared in some anthologies of Lafcadio Hearn's writings, but most of the people who made those anthologies were more interested in him than they were in her, and actually trying to find out what they could about her story. So consequently, her story, even though it was widely publicized, her victory in 1878 and 1879, pretty quickly fell back into an obscurity that it's never really resurfaced from.
That's very interesting. And were you able to use this article as part of being able to tell the story of Henry?
Absolutely. I think, you know, had Wood not been determined to tell her own story, then it wouldn't have been possible to find the sources in the archives that could piece together her life. And these were very detailed interviews that really spoke to, first, her amazing memory and ability to recall the names and places and details of her story, but also her sense that her story needed to be told.
Okay. So I'm going to stop it there. Found it so very interesting. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Where have you heard this before? And what I mean by that is, of course, I've heard some bits and pieces, you know, here and there, and really just recently. But in terms of Black folks, in terms of Black scholars, in terms of Black historians, and those who, you know, put out certain types of information, when did we hear this before or not? Or I'm just curious. And I'm saying this because this is a problem all across the board. And what I mean by that is, for whatever reason, when it comes particularly to our women, Black women, the history, and I mean important history. Now, this is I could be wrong, but this is an important bit of history. To know that a Black woman sued in the 1800s, and this was before Mother Callie House did what she did. This woman literally sued and won. Now, this European person goes in depth, as you just heard, tell you about the story connected to Tokyo and da-da-da-da-da, family law. I'm just saying, we got to do better. We have got to do better. Now, I'm going to play another clip later with that same person, the same author of this book. And he's talking about the 1619 Project. And if you didn't know anything about the 1619 Project, you would have swore that that was something that he and some other folks did. And this is what I'm saying. We are not doing the right things. We're not doing justice for ourselves. What Brother Ken Bridges said, internal reparations. So we're going to come back to that at another time. I do see Sister Janae is in the house. She's actually on our blog line. I was looking for her on the Zoom line. So we're going to open up the blog line, and we're going to talk to Sister Janae right about...
I'm on Zoom.
Oh, now,
I'm on Zoom now.
Now you're on Zoom. Okay. All right.
I'm on the blog. I said, she don't see me. Oh, my God. I couldn't say anything.
Okay. Well, we got you now,
I'm
sis.
Here.
Okay.
Yes. We are gearing up for the Sankofa International Conference in Washington, D.C. I hope everybody has their tickets. If you do not have your ticket, they are on Eventbrite, and you must have a ticket in order to get access to where we will be located. We have queens coming from Zimbabwe. We have queens from Ghana. We have a fashion show from Ethiopia. I talked to Queen Tisha Egu, and she is a phenomenal designer, fashion designer here in Washington, D.C. She, the material, this is so fascinating, Empress G, listen to this. She designed her clothes from the banana leaf.
Wow.
Material, the fabric from the banana leaf. So she has some beautiful original pieces that she's going to come. And she's prepared to, auction them off or give them, if we have an auction or whatever. We have a model call, so be prepared to model, ladies, if you come, and we're going to pull you out the audience to model some of her fashion. Some of the young girls that I've invited have agreed to do the fashion show for us. So we're going to have a phenomenal day here in Washington, D.C., next Saturday, but you must, I'm going to repeat it over and over again. Please register on the Eventbrite. Please, I need your name on the list. Don't come expecting to just show up and gain interest. We have African royalty, like really, the King of Ghana, Nietzsche, is going to be there. Also, the Queen, we have to make sure her security detail is intact, so you must register for this event. I can't stress it enough, that you register with us, that we have all of your names and information. Now, you don't have to show ID, just you need your name on the list, okay? And you need to be able to get the updates in case the location changed, okay? That's another security tactic I learned from the New Black Panther Party. Never let your open enemy know where you're going to be, ever, okay? So my job is to make sure everybody is safe, they have a good time, they come, they're not harassed or anything feeling unsafe or uncomfortable. So we want to make sure that you come and have a very, very good time in Washington, D.C. I look forward to meeting you in person, Dr. Philae. And also Queen Mother Pamela Smith is coming from Tulsa, Oklahoma, to share her story. And we're also going to be crowning her officially Queen Mother. It's just so many things that I can think of. The food, I'm running the menu down now. We're going to have some good food. We're going to have good fun. It's going to be like a family reunion of sorts. And Dr. Reverend Haru Hotep is going to be our keynote speaker, but we'll have several speakers there, and African Royalty will also be able to speak and share with us what they have, their gifts they're bringing to us from the motherland of Africa. So you don't want to miss this event. Please get your tickets online, Sankofa International Conference 2024. So I'll put it in the chat room.
All right. Thank you. And Sister Janae, I just want to say this. It's so important. Over these years, I have been noticing some things. And so it's so important now that we put some pieces in place that need to be put in place. So I'm really glad to hear that Sister Janae is going to officiate the crowning or the, you know, the putting in place of the queen mothership for Sister Pamela Smith. Because what's happening in our communities, unfortunately, is people, I've noticed how people are kind of running around giving people names and titles and things like that, and haven't really identified why that's happening. You see, it's become popular, as opposed to this person has done work, a level of work for our people, you see. And so we have to begin to differentiate one thing from another. It's just like when we use the word elder. Well, you know, respectfully, we use the word elder based usually on the age, the chronological status of one. Unfortunately, that has led to some ambiguous kinds of things. There's an assumption that because one is of a certain age that, and again, it's not to be disrespectful because there is experience there and other kinds of things, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's in the context of Black justice and liberation. And so as we proceed with MWWM, it is our intention to help clarify to a better extent some things that right now is somewhat confusing or have been or can be. So I'm glad, you know, with Sister Janae and others, they're making it very clear why they are saying what they're saying, why they are doing what they're doing, and can bring the receipt, meaning people not just giving titles because it's cute. They're giving recognition because they've earned it, and earned it in such a way that is in the struggle for our people. Not just, you know, you're doing a good job or you're at church or no. It's certain things is relegated to certain kinds of actions, and we need to uphold that in that context. So, Sister Janae, I thank you so much. Tell folks again how they can get the tickets. And folks, $20. You can't beat that. This is a full day. By the way, Sister Janae, what are some of the topics that's going to be focused on?
The main topic is from Reverend Harvey Roosevelt, is the concept. He's going to say, you know, we're not going to leave this room until we figure this thing out. You know, until we really get and understand what Sankofa is about and why it's imperative for us at this time and in this hour to have that connection with our ancestors and our ancestral land. And we know that we were indigenous to this country as well as the continent of Africa. We understand that, but mentality, that's the closest thing we got to what we identify as.
Mm-hmm.
Our African spirituality. So even if we don't travel to Africa spiritually, we must travel to Africa. We must Sankofa. We got to go back and get that. It's not taboo to go back and get what you once learned, what you once knew. And it's imperative that you all understand that this is a divine intervention and connection. None of this is by coincidence. The people that are coming are people that have been in my life and a part of my story, my personal story, since I began my conscious journey. Reverend Harvey Roosevelt was my minister. When he first started out, before he began to be, well, he had already formed the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah. But now they are flourishing. I mean, tremendously, all over the world in several different continents, and wherever they go and they have a church, they have land. They feed themselves off the land, and it's a family. It's really a family experience. That's what I really want you guys to understand, the concept of having a family and having some people around you that you really connect with on a spiritual level. Not just, you know, emotional or just going to church just to be going to church. I was even today, the last 2 days, they launched Ladies of Purpose. Ladies of Purpose on YouTube. And I've been watching those sisters, and I remember them from my when I started out in Greenville, South Carolina. So it's just a lot. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn about traveling. You're going to learn about getting your passport. You're going to learn about the resources and connections throughout the diaspora. So you're not going to leave empty-handed, put it like that. You're not going to leave this empty. And like you said, if it's cheap, it's only $20. There is another Sankofa conference going on. They're charging $175. And I just saw that today.
Right.
I'm like, wow. You know, like I'm not even trying to press the envelope that hard, but
right.
They're offering, African dance classes and drumming. And then maybe next year we can connect with them as
right.
well,
right.
you know, on a different level. But definitely, when you come expecting to be changed, come expecting to see and hear, taste and feel the Sankofa experience. That's what we're doing.
And so again, with that said, Sister Jane, it's also about solution orientation, meaning, you know, a lot of times conferences is a lot of conversation or, you know, presentations with information,
yeah.
but not, you know, we got to get more into the concept of we need to figure out what we're going to do. And that's what I just heard Sister Jane say, that, you know, someone said, we ain't leaving out of here until we come up with, you know, something. And you all have heard me say it on many occasions, direct action. What's your plan? Or what's your proposed plan? Or what you think should be a plan? That's where we have to move this thing to now. Not just, well, the problem is the system of white supremacy, or the problem is, no, we got been there, done that. We got to come up with this problem, and here's what we're talking about doing, you know, at least to some extent. So,
definitely.
So one more time, Sister Jane, where can they get a ticket? And this is family. This is what's happening this week. We're going to have a couple of free tickets to give away. Even if you're not in D.C., certainly there could be a few folk that might be interested in obtaining a ticket. And you know, me particularly, you know, get some sisters. There might be a college student or someone that, you know, that we can connect with. And Baba Yao, he's there in D.C. He knows a lot of college students. So, family, you can still, even if you can't come, you can, you know, let's look at sponsoring a student. How about that?
Yes, definitely. I printed out 20 tickets and passed them out to the people in the neighborhood.
Okay.
So when they come, they're going to be able to come and get in free admission.
Okay.
And these were just people I ran into on the street. You know, people, I went to the shelter and invited some of the women from the women's shelter.
All right. That's right.
You know, whenever we host this event, it's in my neighborhood. I'm not ashamed of what I'm doing. And these are the people I see on the street every day. They need to hear this information. They need to feel the Sankofa experience. And I'm just looking forward to meeting you all and seeing you in person and hosting you here in Washington, D.C. Okay.
Right.
So please go to eventbrite.com and look up Sankofa International Conference. And I'll find it. I'll place it in the chat room for those that are on the Zoom meeting.
Great. All right, family. Give thanks. Sister Jane, before you leave, let me just check and see if there's anyone that has a quick question or a comment for you on our blog. Let me see. Okay, I'm going to come to you. Caller at 9324. Do you have a question or a comment, particularly for Sister Jane? 9324, your mic is open. Okay. Let's try someone else. Okay, 5662, your mic is open. Welcome to the segment of New Day.
Thank you, Sister, living on the front line.
All right.
I want to say, once again, another great show, but on this Sankofa function in D.C. is Oya Funike. She should be honored, not because she did the movie Sankofa, because she paid her dues. She was a part of the Yoruba Village in South Carolina, KBAC. the king. She was initiated at the University of South Carolina Village, you know. She was a BK from D.C., but they named her Oyafunike, and she played in the movie Sankofa, Mona Sorole, the role of Mona Sorole, the model. But she should be honored in the Hall of Fame. You talk about the Hall of Fame, and she should be honored. And that, I don't know if you even considered it that, but and that was good. You mentioned the Hall of Fame because my friend Martha Reeves or Martha and the Vandellas, which is honored in Hollywood Walk of Fame with the star on Hollywood Boulevard Wednesday, this past Wednesday. So you Google it, Martha Reeves, Hollywood Boulevard Walk of Fame. But so it's good that you're going to do that for the sisters. And the circle that you roam in as well. So look, I want to say God bless you and keep it going on. And once again, another great show. And on the move still.
All right,
so anyway,
now.
I say.
Thank you.
But consider Oyafunike Hollywood honored. I mean, not Hollywood, being honored in the Million Memorial March Hall of Fame. Because she should be honored as she paid her dues, not just as an actress, but as a cultural person, because she lived in the village.
Okay.
But anyway, down the line. But anyway,
right.
I don't know if you knew that.
That's what we're doing. I thank you, because that's what we're doing. We're asking folks to, you know, submit some names, but we're also going to have them to send us information about, you know, who they are and why they're recommending us. But no, our position is we need our own everything. That's one of our new mottos and one of our focuses, our own everything. And so other people have this and that and that and this, and that's fine. But we making sure we have our own. So thank you, brother.
That's the good man as well, sister. All right, live on the front line. Peace and love. Ashe.
Ashe. All right. Okay, I think we have our sister. Shanta might be with us. Brother Lumuma, I cannot see everything right now. So, yep, she is in the house. Okay, I do see her now. All right, so we're getting ready to talk with our sister, and we're going to hear about another event that's coming up in Atlanta in August. But Sister Jhené, I want to thank you for joining us and sharing again August 6th. One more time, where can they get more information? Where can they register? Where can they purchase the ticket?
It's April the 6th. Yes, ma'am. They can purchase on eventbrite.com. You must have your name on the list and stay tuned for important updates about the event on Eventbrite, okay?
All right.
So eventbrite.com, Sankofa International Conference 2024.
Okay. Wonderful. All right, my sister, thank you much. All right, moving right along. Now, again, I said tonight, I kind of, you know, have our sisters leading the way tonight as we close out Women's History Month. Well, we got another dynamite sister coming in. I'm telling you, it was such a pleasure to literally be able to feel her and hug her when we were in New York. And again, family, this things that we're doing on the international level, you will see it manifest more so because before we bring our sister in, Sister Shanta, I want to share briefly one of the sessions that we went to while we were there in New York. This is why it's important to go outside of your comfort zone sometimes, because we went to a session where we literally heard how through Africa a vaccine is getting ready to be disseminated, and it's going to be disseminated primarily to young girls from 12 up under the guise of helping to reduce or lessen or eliminate ovarian cancer. So they're literally planning to inoculate millions, and I'm not exaggerating, millions of young girls, 12 up, under the guise of preventing ovarian cancer and related kinds of cancers. Now, we literally sat in a session where African women, and I'm saying continental African women, were really embracing and applauding, these people coming into their villages and so forth with this vaccine. Because remember, we have access to an abundant amount of information, but for a lot of our sisters don't have that. So when these people come up in there and tell them, well, you know, we have this good thing for you, and we'll make sure that, you know, you all will have books and blah, 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 then, of course, they're going to go for it. Because they're not hearing black women say, wait a minute, y'all need to look at this very closely because there's something else going on here. They're not hearing our voices speak out against these things or about or providing other information. So this is why, again, it was so important for us to be there. But anyway, we'll go back to that later. My sister, Shanta, are you ready? I know I saw her.
Brand Rice.
There we are. Yes, 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 yes. Family, listen, again, it is so wonderful to now connect with similar and like minds. And by the way, I want to thank our sister, Dr. Amina Ali, who joined us the other evening on our Zoom and shared the information about the Harbor Heritage University.
Oh,
family, we got our own university now. You know, we've been talking about it.
Privilege and a pleasure to be a student at that university. And, you know, Dr. Amina Ali has been my mentor and my queen mother for several years. And so it's such a pleasure to see her get her accolades, you know, and her flowers right now while she's here to, you know, witness the greatness and the response to her excellence, you know. So this is just amazing for such an esteemed group of women like ourselves to come together. And the initiatives that we're all working on are just world-changing, game-changing, and are going to make a significant impact on communities worldwide. So I'm excited about this interview tonight, and I just prayed and I asked God to just use me as a vessel and to speak through me as usual. You know, this is not my mission or my cause, nothing that I chose to do. God chose me, and so everything I do is spiritually guided, and it's such an honor and pleasure and prestige, and I just thank you for this opportunity.
Well, sister, I thank you. I know that you were very busy today, as in most days, and I really appreciate you, you know, taking the time to join us tonight because I know you had a full day today. I just wanted to close out with sisters tonight because tomorrow is the last day. So I'm not going to hold you because I know you need to get some rest. And again, I really appreciate you taking the time. Before we go into...
I'm all powered up.
Oh, okay. Cool. I just want to go back just 1 minute, and then we're going to come right back to you specifically with, you know, who you are, what you're doing, why, and all of that. But I just want to, sister, family, listen. When you hear us talk more about the Harbor Heritage University, again, one of the things we've been talking about with MWM and MWWM, of course, is human rights. And this is why we know that the connections that we're making now is, in fact, divine. Because we've had the We Charge Genocide 21 campaign now for 5 years plus. So now to be able to funnel our people into something that specifically focuses on human rights so that now we can provide not only training but think tanks and all kinds of things that is a bona fide, recognized, and accredited institution. Family.
No, absolutely.
You can't beat it. Cannot beat it. And so I just want to just say that again, that the university offers a lot of other things too, but again, we're going to really be focusing on our people coming, shall we say, really astute, and that puts it mildly, when it comes to the areas of human rights and then ultimately natural rights, which we'll get into at another time, first thing first. But again, this is so important because if we're talking about becoming independent, sovereign, or autonomous, if you don't know how to do certain things based on certain things or how to change some things, then it's like blowing in the wind. And we ain't going to do that anymore. We ain't doing that. So, sister, I'm gonna yield to you. Please share with us what you're doing, you know, what you have been doing, of course, but also, of course, what's coming up for August.
Okay, well, again, thank you. And, no, the Harper Heritage University is a unique opportunity for us to empower our community and to shift mindset and really make, you know, a difference in our global diaspora. So I'm really excited about the work that Harper Heritage University and Dr. Amina Ali is doing. And thank you so much for highlighting her.
Absolutely.
I heard you mentioning about that vaccine. I want to get back to that later if we have time, but I won't stick to that HPV, because they've also used that Depo-Provera and the COVID. We know about you so much. But speaking about me, I am an international business development consultant. My name is Her Excellency, Shantae Lene Herford, and it's not a name that I just gave myself. I was actually appointed as a part of the Elementang family back in 2017 by Queen Dene Omiko. And last year, I was appointed as a Royal Ambassador at Large for the Africa Kingdom Alliance. And the Africa Kingdom Alliance represents all 750-plus African kingdoms, chiefdoms, and institutions stretched across East, Central, and West Africa. And in my role as Royal Ambassador at Large, one of my objectives is to help unite all African and indigenous nations worldwide for not just the purpose of, you know, cultural exchange and international trade and, you know, economic development, but also so that we can take back our rightful place in the world, you know, because we are the original Black man and woman. And so, you know, there's just so many things that we're entitled to, and what we lack are the unity and organization. So that's what my major role is as a Royal Ambassador for the Africa Kingdom Alliance. Outside of that, I serve as the Director of Finance and Investment for a continental-wide agro-industrial park development consortium, helping to secure financing for a project that has secured over 400,000 acres of land in several, well, probably more than six different African countries in order to take food from seed to shelf so that we can have our own food security and stability. Additionally, I have been serving over the last, I would say, 3 weeks or so with Dr. Truth Bay, who is also on this call, assisting in, I guess, arranging a task force and organizing and mobilizing the Haitian community as well as the global diaspora around the Haitian crisis that's taking place, you know, with the collapse of their government and helping to restore the peace and reconciliation there in Haiti by being a neutral party and providing humanitarian aid and just helping to encourage peaceful dialogue to end the civil unrest and the violence there in Haiti. We come with solutions. When many people talk and debate, many unnecessary subject matters, we come with solutions. We have many different entities that have, you know, all the solutions that we need, but the blueprint to our own liberation, as you say, created in our own system. It's not a lack of the knowledge or expertise or the people, you know, the who we would call the revolutionists. It's not a lack of that at all. It's just a lack of organization and unity around these issues, and many people are distracted by the media and the program that's intentionally put in place. So in order for us to counter this programming, we are calling all like-minded individuals and entities from all around the globe that are of the Black, Afro, and Indigenous melanin, as we would say, melanin people, to come together in Atlanta in August, the week of August 18th, through the 25th in Atlanta, Georgia, for what we are going to host the Birth of a New Nation Global Peace Summit. And at this peace summit, we plan to start with a royal convocation, welcoming all the different royals from various different countries around the world, of the diaspora, and this program will be hosted by the Tribe of Shabazz and the Harbor Heritage University. Her Excellency, Dr. Amina Ali, will be spearheading that initiative. And then Monday, Thursday, there will be spinoff events that will happen at different various venues around the city of Atlanta based on your subject, your business sector or your hobbies or interests. And then Friday and Saturday, we'll have an international trade and exhibition expo, as well as the Global Peace Summit, where there'll be breakout sessions, conferences, and many different workshops and opportunities to network and just our, you know, the cultural exchange between all of us in the diaspora, ending with a collaboration with the Atlanta Afrobeats Festival for a 48-hour concert that will also feature keynote speakers and, entertainment. So we're expecting a spectacular week here, the week of August 18th through the 25th in Atlanta, Georgia, for the Birth of a New Nation Global Peace Summit. And we're excited about partnership with the Million Woman March, happening in October in D.C. It couldn't have been a better union to bring all these movements together. And we invite all the other movements, missions, and entities that are organizing and mobilizing around some of these same issues to come together with us so that we can all move with one voice in solidarity with one another to birth a new nation, to amplify our voice, to strengthen our movements, our mission, and to show the world that, you know, hey, it's a new day and it's a new dawn. And so that is me in a nutshell. I hope that I covered everything. I do have some game-changing things that we are putting in place as mm-hmm. part of the solutions that we can talk about later in the call, but mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and yield there.
Okay, wonderful. Family, what we're going to do is if there's a question or a comment for our sister, you can use your hand gesture so that we can see you. And also those on Zoom, if you have a question or comment, you can press 1, and then we'll also come to you. So, again, if you are in the Zoom, blog, you got to press 1. Zoom, you can just use your hand gesture if you have a question or a comment for our sister. And again, we're talking about this is going to be, I believe, not only the continuation of what our ancestors have been telling us to do for quite a while, but certainly in such a way that it just has that, it has a feeling to it. You know what I'm saying? Meaning sometimes there are some things, and it's kind of like overwhelming in that it's just one kind of focus. This, you can just tell there is a real, more of a universal concept here, you see. And I have to say that. I oftentimes do not go to certain kinds of things because it's too one-sided for me. You know, I mean, my brain is too, you know, it moves too quickly and too much to be locked into some one thing. So I like the way this is designed. I like how it feels, and with that, it, you know, it's a welcoming feeling for wherever you're at with whatever, you know, and it's very, very important in this day and age. Brother Lumumba, I can't see all the boards. Is there anyone that has their hand up?
Yes, we have Brother Phil, you have the floor. You have a question or comment? T-Lay, I'm sorry. Brother Ward, though.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. You have sister talking. It's really enriching my soul. And it's lovely. It's like a dream come true.
Yes.
You know, I always feel alone in the world, like I was by myself.
Yes.
But all of you, I feel the bones that created me since the beginning of time, that I am back home. I feel love without knowing you personally, but the word that's come in your mouth fill me, and my cup is overflowed. The only thing that I have for you, guys, I'm a personal banker. I'm an investment banker. That's one of my trades. So I became a petroleum engineer. And that 1 million match for the woman. This is what I'm my suggestion. We need to have at least 1 million men that support the woman. Not just support the woman, but with their pocket, like $20 for each man. That will be $20 million that we can use as a, not only an African descent bank, but a bank that supports women, African women, for credit, and they can know, okay, this is our bank. It's the woman investment bank. Put the money instead of putting in WC or putting on back of our bank that will not give the African-American credit. Can do that in just one match. Because 1 million women at $20, that's $20 million. 20 men supporting that, that's $40 million. That $40 million can start an investment for women.
I should.
And that's one question. And if we do it right, I can guarantee you, I will not just support one woman, I'll probably support 20 women, because I love another woman. But I'm just telling the truth, because some men will give $100. We'll ask for $20 for each man to support each woman. But you're going to find men that are going to give you $100,000. You can use that money to start an investment bank. Because our woman is being neglected. And I work in a bank. Somebody from Europe, they get automatically $500,000 in credit. Somebody that's born in America, that's an African-American, did not even get $5,000 credit. They're not qualified because they have $100,000. And that's what we have to understand. We have to build everything ourselves. And that's why we do it right now, and that's why it's so much. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, my brother, thank you. And let me just, if I may, respond to that. This is Sister Empress Chi. So let me give you a 411, because we're getting ready to bring forward some information and other things that we had not been able to share and convey prior to now. The original Million Woman March happened in 1997. Now, for the record, we are the only entity that had over 500,000 people that did not do a collection. Now, that was a big problem for some, but ancestors told me, don't do it. And I was a little, kind of upset about it, because I said, wow, if I do this collection, I know we can have our programs, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, but the ancestors said, don't do it. So now, here we are now, 2 decades, and we have learned what to do and how to do it, because let me tell you what we now know. 2 things. Number one, our people have been bamboozled. Our people are often told to give money, even if it's a small amount. But over the years, they have been duped. They give money, and they don't see results. So what ancestors told me was, look, you have to develop a plan. And once you develop the plan, then you can move forward in terms of currency, finance, revenue, etc. But you cannot do this. You cannot take anybody's money beyond a certain point. I'm not talking about a little donation here and there. I'm talking about some serious stuff, millions of dollars. See, the responsibility of that is out of this world. And what I learned from the original Million Woman March was people talk a bunch of stuff, but then when it's time to step up and do the work or do the right thing, they're not there. These people in Philadelphia, because they could not control the Million Woman March, they did everything they could to destroy it. This is what I learned 5 years or so later after the original Million Woman March. Someone conveyed to me that there was a plan already put in place, that if I had taken the money or did the collection at the original Million Woman March, which would have brought in an estimated 2.5 million minimally. They were already planning to charge me with misappropriation of funds. I had no idea about any of that until years later. But I listened to the ancestors, and guess what? I realized what has happened with our people in other situations. Now, we did not have an infrastructure like Mr. Farrakhan. Everything we did was from the grassroots, and it was a building process. We didn't already have certain things in place. You cannot ask people to give you millions of dollars and you not have an infrastructure. That's irresponsible, and it's also dangerous. So now, I hear what you're saying, and we can do whatever we want to do now because we not only have a plan, we have people in place that have certain expertise and other kinds of things. We didn't have that like that before because I thought when people saw 2 million black women, African women, that they would say, wow, let me see how I can support or help. That didn't happen. So we had to ride this thing out by any and all means, whatever ups, whatever downs, learn these processes because nobody took our hand to help us. With all these people in finance, banking, you name it, none of them for the most part reached out to help, you see. And so now we know when we hear people talking about, yeah, we're black, we're proud, we want self-determination, we want this, they pulling your chain. Because I can tell you firsthand, people who I really do admire their work, they wouldn't give us two nickels. Certainly not any advice. And these are well-known people in the so-called movement. And so I'm saying that again, that brother, we hear you and we thank you. But I can tell you this, you cannot, not in America, or any place else as far as I'm concerned, you get out here and you start getting a couple of million dollars and see what happens. They're either going to give you some trumped-up charges. This is why we don't do 501s. We let other people be a fiduciary or whatever, but we don't touch that stuff because we know that if you get too strong and too right on point, they're coming after you. And until we build the nation that we have to build, we're not going to take these little risk things lightly. So again, family, y'all ain't never heard that from me before like that because we couldn't convey it to you before. We can now because we are establishing ourselves in international circles, and we're also advising others. Be careful when you start handling over $500,000, when you start going over that, you better be very careful. Because this government will charge you with different things. And the thing is, you have to prove that you didn't do it. Once you charged with it, you got to prove you didn't do it. They ain't got to prove that you did. You got to prove that you didn't. So we learned this early on, and that's why up till now we kept a low profile. We watched things very carefully. We paid very close attention. We paid our dues, and now we're ready to rock and roll. So I'm hoping what I just shared with everyone was something that helped bring some clarity to why we did not proceed with what we could have in certain things. Because you cannot do that like that. That sounds easy, and it sounds like, oh, yeah, but who you know has done that and got away with it? Unless they already had some built-in stuff to a level that was capable to respond. At the time, we didn't have that. Now we do. And by the way, sisters in particular, we're going for 1 million members. 1 million members to start with. Sisters to do that. The Honorable Marcus Garvey is said to have 2 million members 100 years ago. There's no excuse today. None. And again, we have a plan. We can show you our Black Print Agenda 25, which shows us how to purchase property, for what reason, in what cities. We've done 10 years of research on this. So, my brother, again, I thank you. We appreciate, you know, all that you're sharing and hoping that you will share your expertise in banking with us.
Ashe.
All right.
Yes, sir. I'm in your state. I am a specialist in writing programs for banking, especially investment banking for development.
Okay.
But definitely, I am yours. I am yours anytime.
Wonderful. Please put your information in the chat. If you would be so kind, we will be in touch with you. We have another brother. He's in Germany, and his background is finance as well. Like I said, over the past 10 years, we had to build relationships and then try some of those relationships, because people come in. Sometimes they're sent in, and we've had that to happen too. People are sent in to not only spy on you but to try to dismantle. So we had to go through processes so that we could see who was who and da-da-da-da, and we did that. And so we built relationships now that we feel very comfortable with. So we do have a brother. He's right now in Germany. He's been living in Germany for a while. He's really Senegalese, and he just so happened to be from the family of Chenka the Jope. His name is Njaga Jope. And so, again, we've had to develop relationships over the years with people who we knew would not, you know, either try to take advantage or exploit us or whatever. So, again, if you'd be so kind, please put your information in the chat, and we will definitely be back with you soon. Okay, are there any more questions or comments?
No questions, just comments.
By all means, my sister, bring it.
Yes, I don't know if my turn to explain what's the update concerning Haiti.
Well, let us before we do, I want to make sure, Sister Shanta, I want to make sure that we have closed out with her. My sister, did you have some closing comments before we come in with Dr. Truth Bay?
Well, I guess I will let Dr. Truth Bay come in and, you know, comment on the Haiti crisis and where we are with the updates, any updates that she has. If we want to come back to, I guess, discussing some of the solutions that we have in place for any of our systems, we do have a gold rewards campaign that we plan to launch simultaneously with the Birth of a New Nation event and promotions to help, you know, just bring the bring a currency to our people, because we know everyone is moving back over to the gold standard, and our those that I represent in the Africa Kingdom controlling on some of their many of their own natural resources. Mm-hmm. So we're looking to monetize those, and we found a way to do that that will allow us to participate in the global market. So we can talk about that another time, because the crucial things that are happening in Haiti is more pressing. So Dr. Truth-Bay could definitely come in and give us some updates.
Okay. Dr. Truth-Bay, just give me one more moment. Let me just check back and see, because I don't want to miss anybody. If you did have a question or comment for Her Excellency Sister Shanda, please indicate that now. Let me check in our blog. Okay. But I just want to make sure on the Zoom that we're okay. Brother Lumumba?
I just wanted to say excellent work, as usual, Sister Shanta. And I just wanted to tap in with the brothers. I did put it in the chat just to make sure that we must not mention we do have a men component, all right, because we are about building not only up the women, but also building up the community and the family and the nation at large.
Mm-hmm.
So do things simultaneously and in a balanced fashion, and the ways of our ancient legacy and history, you know, and our ways of Ma'at. And so we do have the Syrian brothers in support of the main way of march and universal movement. Also the mighty Ma'atic Men of Valor Action Network, Christ with Passes, Mentorship, Fellowship, and Brotherhood programs. All right, so definitely tap in with us, good brothers, and let's build. And I give thanks. I yield.
Okay, we have one more on our Zoom, and then we'll be ready for Dr. Chu. Caller, you are at 4298. 4298 on our blog. Your mic is open. Welcome to this segment.
Hello.
Thank you, sister. This is Brother Robert Moses on the just struggles of the people naturally support each other. And in that spirit, you know, I want to report that tonight we have the D.C. Metro Coalition in solidarity with the Cuban Revolution had an event at Sankofa Bookstore in D.C. And the Alexandra Garcia de Arturo, the deputy chief of the mission for Cuba, spoke to end the blockade and take Cuba off the state terrorist list, et cetera. And Dr. Samira Audrey, the U.S. director of USIFO Pastors for Peace ELAM program, spoke and about this the continuing situation in Cuba. I thank you for allowing me to share this information. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Brother Moses. All right. All right, family. So I guess that's all that we have for now for Her Excellency, Sister Shanta. All right, family. So listen, Sister Shanta, one more thing before you go. Please let folks know again how they can get more information about the upcoming birth of a new nation.
You can learn more about the birth of a new nation. We have a landing page up that's currently under construction, so there's still some updates that are being added to the webpage, but it's birthofanewnation.com. We recently named a new chairman, Empress Mayashola Matthews of the Ayashola Empire. So we are excited about the fresh energy that she's bringing to the event and the plans that we have. And we'd love to have all of you participate. We do have a planning session every week. One weekend is every Sunday is for the leadership of the planning committee, and every other Sunday is for the entire planning committee as a collective. So we come together every Sunday from 12 noon Eastern or 1 p.m. Eastern, and we plan the activities and, you know, the tasks and responsibilities for the birth of a new nation event. So if you are interested in being a part of this event, definitely tap in with me. I am on LinkedIn. I'm on Instagram. We have a birthofanewnation.com. I can be found online at Shantae Lanae. That's S-H-A-N-T-A-L-A-N-A. Shantae Lanae. And I look forward to connecting with many of you and, you know, really making this a birth of a new nation organized in solidarity and unity. So thank you so much again, Empress Chi, and also Dr. Truthbag for making this opportunity available. It's great to have people who speak your name in rooms even when you're not there. So I appreciate the support.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what's so ironic, or not really ironic, but again, it just gives me the indication that, you know, this is supposed to happen the way that it is. We also have a Birth of a New Nation project, but it's spelled N-U as well. And so we know that we were destined to link together. So it's just such a wonderful thing. Oh, my gosh. One last thing before we go to Dr. Truth Bay, you know, again, what connected, and again, Dr. Truth Bay I'm going to make her one of my prime conductors. That's a whole other area of what we do. But she's connected us to you and, of course, to Dr. Amina. And again, how we know that this is truly blessed and divine, we've been working on as you heard earlier, Black Women's History and Legacy Project. Well, that's for kind of North America. On the international level, we've been working on a Global African Women's Curriculum and studies. In other words, African women's studies, because what we saw in many universities, they have women's studies departments in the various universities. But when you look to see what they're talking about in terms of Black women, it is like Audre Lorde and a few other here and there's, and that's it. Right. And so we realized that we better create once again our own. So we've been working on a curriculum and an actual department, like a African women's studies. You know, just like you have Black studies, we were working on African women's studies. So I told my sister Basima about that, And when she realized what Dr. Amina had, she said, wait a minute, y'all got to come together because this is perfect.
That's right.
So again, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You just can't. It is just so on point.
No, you cannot.
It is so on point, you know.
And I kept telling Dr. Truthday, I said, I got to introduce you to my queen mother and my mentor. I said, because, you know, with everything she has going on and everything we're doing, because some of these things, you know, I've never envisioned me being a part of. You know, I have a background in music and entertainment, not in human rights,
right.
Although I've always been a pro-black activist.
Right.
But just attending, you know, first of all, the mentorship that I get from Dr. Amina Ali, and then attending the Harvard Heritage University, it just really opened up my eyes to even another side of activism. So, you know, I don't take the education I'm receiving lightly. And it's just, you know, like, wow, there's so much work to be done. And so I'm glad that her university exists and that it removes barriers that normally would prevent people like me from, you know, going after and pursuing, you know, a higher education or my doctorate degree.
Wow, wonderful. Well, sister, again, I thank you. And, oh, I'm just so looking forward to what we are going to accomplish.
Yes, to end it definitely quickly, we do have a question or a hand up from Sister Janae as well.
Okay. Go ahead, Sister Janae.
Yes, good. You thanks. Grand Rising, Her Royal Highness. I just listening to you all and being in the room in the space with you is just amazing. You know, it really is. This is a divine connection. But I wanted to let those know that we will be meeting, the gentleman mentioned, Sankofa Bookstore in Washington. So Friday night, we're going to meet and greet at Sankofa Bookstore in Washington, D.C. I totally forgot all to mention that this morning. I went this morning and spoke with the owner, and he is more than welcoming us. So as you come into Washington, D.C., around 5 to 6 o'clock, 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock, somewhere around there, if you're coming in to the Sankofa International Conference, if you're looking for something to do, they're having a program there at the Sankofa Bookstore, which is located right across from Howard University. Let me give you the address. I don't know why I didn't do that first. But I did go in there today, and we're going to meet and greet there. We were looking for a sister circle, but to host Friday night and to just prepare for the Sankofa and to invite the community out as well and to come to the event. So we're going to be there, I guess around 5 o'clock we'll be there at the Sankofa Bookstore in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And it is a Black-owned business. It's located at 2714 Georgia Avenue, Northwest, Washington. Sankofa Video, Books, and Cafe for everyone that's coming in from out of town, so we can just mix and mingle and prepare ourselves for Sankofa experience. Okay?
All right. Thank you, Sister Janae. All right. Okay, I guess we're ready for Dr. Truth Day, family. We are going to get an update on what's going on in Haiti. And, of course, what Dr. Truth Day has been working on, again, that is solution-oriented. And so we are ready for you, Dr. Truth Day and family. Also, before we do, I want to remind you that tomorrow we'll be at the Nile Cafe. We're usually there every month. I think we missed last month, but we're back there this month. The Nile Cafe is here in Philadelphia. Many know it also as a Sarset. They have different groups in Atlanta and New York, but we're here in Philly. But you can join us on Zoom. So my point is, I'm getting ready to put it in the chat. Please feel free to join us at 3:30 on Zoom If you're coming to the facility, we'll start there at 3, but on Zoom, we're going to be 3:30. Sisters, please make sure if you have a business or a product or something like that, we're going to be highlighting Black women that have businesses, entrepreneurship, other kinds of things, goods and services. There's a session that's going to focus on our sisters because we're getting ready to do a national directory. For the Million Women World March, there's going to be a national directory so that you'll know in whatever city that you're in, you'll be able to go to sisters that we recommend you support. So you're going to see some of them tomorrow. Now, if you haven't signed up already to do just a two-minute or so presentation about who you are, what service you do, please put it in the chat or email nationalmwm@aol.com. I'm going to put that in the chat as well. Again, we're going to be featuring Black women, African women, who are going to be joining one of our or several of our wealth building, economic, or whatever components. We have a variety of memberships now, and some of them are geared to finance and wealth building, business development. So again, you can go in the chat and you'll be able to see how you can join us tomorrow on Zoom if you're not in Philly. If you are in Philly, we're going to be at 6008 Germantown Avenue. It's called the Nile. Beautiful name, beautiful place. Okay, back to you. Dr. True Bay, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All
ready,
right.
Ready.
Let's go.
Before you begin, excuse me for interrupting. Can everyone please put that information that they shared in the chat, Sister Janae, Sister Sante, please put the information for your events, so on and so forth in the chat so people can follow up with those things as well. Yes, thanks. All right, back to you, Dr. Truthay.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Lumumba. Again, I just want to echo the sentiment of the brilliant energy, powers of my sisters, even being here, I'm at awe. I want to give honor to Her Excellency Chantal Monae, Queen Janae, Sister Nzinga, and Empress Chi. Dr. Amina, again, she is a light bearer. And I'm taking the Harvard Heritage University course in June. So I'm going to have another load on there, really trying to fight for human rights the right way. But overall, Haiti has been not listened to. As we had on March 11th, we had the resignation of Ariane Henry, a corrupt president that tried to do a deal with Kenya to send to Haiti. And the country of Haiti found it together. It was like, we're not having it. And they denied him access back into the country. Now, ever since then, interim governance was supposed to be put in place by the people. But unfortunately, a group called CARICOM, which many people may know, the Caribbean community has not only installed Ariel Henry, supported his efforts, but again, they are U.S.-based. And so after the 12th, the Haitians were in so many ways stating that we do not want CARICOM to decide for us. We can decide for ourselves. So there's pictures, there's videos, there's so many media that express what the Haitian people wanted. And all of that was ignored. So on Thursday the 28th, the president of CARICOM, who is Dr. Mohamed Ifran Ali, he's actually the president and cooperative of the Republic of Guyana, and he's also the speaker for CARICOM. They drafted a letter, not to the Haitian people or the organization, but to Ariel Henry, the defunct, resigned president. And in it, I'm not going to read the whole letter, but just a synopsis. They are telling him about the March 11th resignation that he had. They named 9 people that they chose. And some of them, you may know or may not know, some of them from Famila, Montana Ford, the private sector, civil society, all from these different special interest groups that have been abused in Haiti. These are the 9 people that CARICOM, again, chose to put in decision-making seats without the input of the Haitian-led organization. And so, in short, the letter states, it's incumbent upon you, and again, this letter is addressed to Ariel Henry,
It says it's incumbent upon you to take the necessary procedural formalities to facilitate an immediate installation of the transitional presidential council leading and naming the interim prime minister, which is a critical and urgent first step to allow the transitional presidential council to commence functioning and initiate an accelerated deployment of the multinational security support mission authorized by the United Nations Security Council. And so in short, Dr. Ali, these findings that Telecom will revert to you once the name of the interim prime minister has been made known. Now, this was given 3 days ago. This was a slap in the face to the Haitian population, the leaders, the people who are vocal about not being involved. It's disregarding them altogether. So with that being said, on Monday, April 1st, certain groups are going to start filing a lawsuit against Caricom. So this was something that was discussed as of yesterday and today as well. So the groups that are leading that charge, we're not going to name them here. You just want to have to find out once it is filed. But I think this is a step in the right direction for Haiti. And this is what Haitians want. As a Haitian American myself, it is hurtful to see that a country that I was born in not only mistreat me because I'm considered black, but hates me even more because I'm Haitian. And to see that anything that we suggest, that we do, that we want to be at the table, that we come peacefully, that we are ignored, we are removed, we are stolen from, and we are considered as degenerate. And so what we see in the news right now, there is a secret military group in Haiti that a lot of people don't know about. Their flags are not recognized, but we know one thing for sure, that they are trained in the military because the ammunition that they're using, not any regular gang members, as they like to label, cannot use without the proper training. So these are the U.S. military that's in the U.S., and they have removed, in the last couple of weeks, they removed all the non-African people in Haiti. So they removed the mulatto. They removed the grand blanc, T-blanc, the foreign national. Anybody that's not African, Haitian, they secretly removed them. That means they got private planes. They took them out in the middle of the night. However they did it under the guise of so-called trying to have Haiti. So now you have 99% of the population is literally the African nation. The black Haitian population are left to fend for themselves. And so I want people to know what's really happening in Haiti so we can properly work together. So we're also working with Bishop Maurice, who's also on the line. We're going to interview him on Black Power Radio tomorrow. So please call in at 8 p.m. But Bishop Maurice is the ambassador. He's literally a certified peacemaking ambassador that was called upon the organizations from Haiti. And he has a church, Mount Sinai Worship Center, that leads an interfaith peace march, a successful peace march that he's been doing in New York. And so he's going to lead the charge along with other groups to help keeping efforts with Haiti. Because, again, they don't want anything to do with CARICOM. They don't want to deal with anything with the U.S. because the U.S. is just, as of the 28th, just ignoring them altogether. And this is not something the Haitian people want. We want to work together, but we want autonomy on what we decide for a new governance for Haiti. So if I may, I would like to relinquish the mic for a minute or two to Bishop Dr. Lubin Maurice to explain his position in the peacekeeping efforts for Haiti.
By all means, yes.
Mr. Maurice, you have to unmute your mic. We can see you, but we can't hear you.
Thank you, Dr. Kinsley, and Vice President, Queen Mother, and all of you. It's a pleasure to be in your company, to have the opportunity to listen to this phenomenal, fantastic, awesome show. And we're certainly happy to know that you're reaching out and you're preparing to have the great, wonderful women to be much together and peace and unity.
Yes.
Truly, it will be a great example to show the world that we can live together. Is it better to live together as friends than the enemy? So you're going to demonstrate that in big number, as you've already been doing on the show and also in your community. We also thank the Excellency Chantal for the great work that she's doing in Atlanta and embracing the Haitian situation, although she's not a Haitian herself, but she's embracing the understanding crisis, the suffering, the pain. So we truly commend you for the work that you're doing. It's something that will be in support of your endeavor as well. So the what we are doing for the bringing peace and unity in Haiti is that we collecting courage diaspora, Haitian diaspora join us in this effort. We believe that this effort by have dialogues with Haitian to Haitian will bring success to our broken country where the people are so divided by the outside influence. So we want to change that. We want to be able to sit with them in the capital to coach them to be able to take their own decision for the kind of a government they want according to their constitution, and also to be able to see the future of their own country. And the first time there will be a led peace movement that is organized by Haitian to go sit with Haitian. All the peace movement that have been going to Haiti usually by foreigners, but they never work. So we believe this time is the work because we understand our people. We understand our culture. We understand the suffering from the pain, and we're trying to change it by sitting together. So therefore, we are looking to go hopefully by the end of April, beginning of May. We certainly need your assistance whichever way you can. We hopefully to take about 20 people with us, and at the cost of traveling and all the logistics that we have to put together here in U.S. to carry the people, and also in Haiti for the hotels, transportation, and those that are going to be with us, sit with us from all different sectors, that we will not leave them go on the street. Not say that into our hotel, they will be stay there until our conference is finished. 3 to 5 to 6 days. So that means their room and board is on our hands. So therefore, we ask you to join us in whichever way you can, that together we can make a difference. Haiti, as you know, is a first republic. It is the richest country. Yeah. It is on the uranium that will be available for the technology of the 21st century. We're talking trillions in a year. Some people want it.
Okay,
that's why they're destroying and removing the history
of
the free humanitarian visa to come to the U.S. where they take the country.
We
said it. That's not going to happen. We're going to change the dynamic. that a Haitian could feel home, be home, because no place better like home. So we thank you so much for your partnership, and we open for that, for the partnership. You can partner with us. You can be a sponsor. You can just support. Whichever the Lord leads you, you could do this. And then that will allow us to go big, to send a message to the world that we are not going to be a burden to the world, but we're going to be an asset to the world, to our neighboring country. Prayerfully, the problem will resolve. What's going on in Haiti today will not happen anymore. So thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate you.
And thank you, Dr. Maurice. I just wanted to relate to a GoFundMe that's in the chat, Center for Truth and Healing. Our trustee helped put this together, and a press conference, hopefully in a week or so, in Atlanta. And we'll give you more updates on that. So I want to say thank you, Appreciate you, for allowing us the platform to really tell the public what's really happening with Haiti and how we can literally work together for this suffering since the beginning of time, 1804.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I thank both of you. Thank you, Bishop. And also tomorrow, family, I put the information in the chat where you can join us. Dr. Troupe and I will present a press release based on what we were able to present at the United Nations last week. And we're getting ready to now prepare for the follow-up. So I plan to begin my tour starting in April, one of the pre-tours for the Million Women World March. And one of those things, one of the things that will happen for the tour is to begin to coordinate further some of the things that we want as a part of our agenda for October. So, of course, there's going to be special sessions during that week leading up to the Million Women World March Mass Assembly. There'll be sessions on IET so that you can get very clear, direct information as well as how you can get involved. Again, my particular area is going to focus specifically on the women and girls. Dr. Troupe, of course, is all-encompassing. So you will be able to get in where you fit in, as they say. And so we'll be giving you more information as we proceed in the next days and weeks to come. But family, is so important that we get involved in some kind of way. IET is one of our prime examples of resistance and liberation. And what you now see, and I'm going to ask Dr. Troupe to just comment briefly on what I'm getting ready to say. What you now see is a result of influences and intervention of other people. Let's be real clear about that. What you are now hearing about on the news or on the TV or in your newspaper is as a result of other people going into IET in order to seize and control resources, etc., not to mention the decades of hatred for our people obtaining their freedom.
Yes.
This is all real. Now, y'all know how this stuff goes, so I'm going to turn it back over to you, Dr. Troupe.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for mentioning that. It is important to remember that the only reason why Haiti is going through what it's going through is because we dare to say you are not going to continue to treat us as animals because you don't like the color of my skin. And that is how Haiti was developed. You have the children of the French that ran the country, and 99% of the black Africans were left in squalor, or given drugs, or given guns. This is a country rich in fertile, based on uranium and gold. So don't be misled by the title, the Haiti being the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere.
It simply is the beginning of reparations. And as we battle to have a governance, and we will, sooner than we think, that after this loss of the trial, we'll see the accountability moving forward. But reparations here in the United States is something that is tied directly to Haiti. They refuse to give us a bill, have a governance. You see what they did to us in Tulsa. God forbid if we are prosperous. So people are afraid to sometimes step up. We're afraid to sometimes come together. But there is a time where you don't have time to waste anymore. You've got to get in and be proactive in self-determination. So I'm so grateful for Empress Chi. She laid down the work in 1997, bringing people together. But when we went home, what did we do? We went to business as usual. And so now we're in 2024, and birth of a new nation, Million Women World Movement, the Sankofa, is three of the most prolific events for us to come together and create a blueprint about everything for the black woman, black man, and black child. And that's what Haiti's about. So I thank you again for this last day. Women's History Month, and we honor women.
Absolutely.
And I look forward to seeing that our brothers right by our side.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, they're showing up now already, sister. In fact, I'm almost sure this is Brother Adrian. I think I see your hand up, Brother Adrian, in the Zoom. And so we're going to come to caller at 2274. I think Brother Adrian over in Baton Rouge has a comment or something for us. Brother Adrian, is that you? Okay, I thought it was Brother Adrian. All right, well, let's go to 2274. Your mic is open. All right. Okay, looks like we're having a little difficulty there. Sound like you're trying
to
come in. Yep, we can hear you, brother.
Okay. I want to mention this to black people. A government that will put a fertility clinic in your community before they will put up a grocery store.
So, Adrian, we're having a hard time hearing you. You might want to, if you're on speakerphone, take yourself off of speakerphone.
Okay, yeah.
There you
okay,
go.
Okay, what
better.
About now?
Yep, much better.
Okay. Okay, I didn't know I was on speaker. I just want black people to understand this. In relation to the government, a government that will put up a fertility clinic in your community before they will put up a grocery store, that tells you something right there, where you can get pharmaceutical medicines easier than you can get fruit, fresh fruits and vegetables. That should tell you something right there. And as far as the vaccines, when the vaccines were given away supposedly for free, that's all I needed to know. And that's when I started investigating and doing more research. Nothing is free in a capitalistic white supremacist society. And if they will give up something easier than they will something that's a necessity, that should tell you something. And I thank you for the time, and I thank the sister for her insight.
All right, Brother Adrian, thank you again. And that's our Brother Adrian in Baton Rouge. And, of course, he's with our We Trust Genocide 21 project and, of course, our brothers in support. All right, Brother Lumumba, do we have any more hands up on your end?
No, it doesn't look like it. Is there any questions or comments in the Zoom room? All right, questions or comments? All right, I don't see any reactions.
All right.
All right, give thanks.
All right. So before we close out, we just want to remind everyone again, we're going to hold off on the second clip I wanted to play for you from the non-melanated person who was talking about the great Henrietta Wood, who, of course, filed for reparations in the 1800s and won. You need to know that story. Because if people be talking this stuff today about what you can't do and all of that, if they're able to do that in the 1800s, we have no excuses. And I'm not saying it's easy or anything like that, but it certainly is doable. Also, we want to remind everyone that starting on Monday, If, in fact, you are going to be involved with the Million Woman World March, coordination, ambassadorships, and in any other kind of capacity, partners, meetings begin on Monday. Orientation, Monday and Tuesday. For all areas, orientation, Monday, Tuesday, 7 o'clock. You need to know who, what, why, how. Very important before you get any other information. If you haven't signed up in some form of membership, you need to do that. So Monday, starting on Monday and Tuesday, 7 o'clock is orientation. It's only going to be for about a half an hour. It's not going to be long. So, again, if you haven't filled anything out yet with indicating what committee you're interested in or project, you need to do that as well. Again, starting on Monday.
Coming to the zone room. Just saying what's up.
Who's coming in?
Mr. Jones.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. We don't have much time, but definitely want to bring Sister Tawanda in. I don't know if all of you heard about what happened in Baltimore this week. So maybe she can just come in real quick and share briefly. But again, family, make sure if you have not filled out one of our forms indicating, you know, what areas you're interested in participating in or what have you, you need to let us know that so we can get that form to you. Sister Jane has it, Brother Lumumba has it, and I have it. So you have at least one of our email addresses. Make sure you indicate you need a sign-up form to fill out, and it'll tell you, it'll have on there different things you can check off in terms of what your interests are. Okay, but again, orientation is a must, Monday and Tuesday, only for about 30 minutes, and it'll give you fundamental information, history of Million Woman March, what Million Woman World March is, and other very key things. What is the black print, etc. Monday, okay. Now, that's for the blog. Don't worry about it. If you're tuning in on our blog via the live stream, you need to switch over to the podcast because you're going to lose the live stream only for the blog. We're okay on Zoom. So, again, if you're on blog and you're doing live stream, you need to switch over either to Zoom or the podcast, 319-527-6189, or join us on Zoom. Okay? So just ignore that. Don't worry about that. Okay, Sister Tawanda, are you there? Because, again, I can't see.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, sis. That's our Sister Tawanda. Yep. Oh, sis, I'm so glad you chimed in. Can you give us briefly what happened in Baltimore this past week?
A bunch of craziness, like unreal stuff. So, yeah, so pretty much if anybody's listening and is not aware, you know, there was a ship that crashed into this Francis Scott Key Bridge and knocked and made it collapse. Like, it broke into, like, three different pieces. But the part that was interesting was, like, the ship was actually made, and I think it was, like, 1970, either 74 or 78 it was made or whatever. But then, like, 3 days before that happened, they had just, like, posted something on, like, all the social medias, and they was showing them, like, construction of how the bridge was put together in the three parts, and I thought that was interesting. And then 3 days later, the ship hit right there at the part that it was connecting. I'm like, okay. But the part that everybody, and I know that sounds like conspiracy theory, whatever, but let's stick to the facts of what I do know. What I do know, the facts were, there were six construction workers that were actually working on the bridge, and they were Latino brothers, right, working there, you know. And the fact that when they kept getting the Mayday alerts from the ship, that, you know, the ship kept losing power and whatnot, and they kept calling Mayday and saying, hey, you know, we're losing power, it's not looking good. They wound up actually shutting down, you know, the key bridge, but then they didn't even really warn the guys, the men, that had their life on the line. Then by the time the word got to them, one of the ones they got, because remember, two got saved, right? Two got saved, they're 6 months missing or whatever, and then they just recovered, like, two bodies or whatever, four still missing. But the whole point, my point is, they literally let them know at the very last minute when they could have got them off of that bridge immediately, because that's an emergency. Why would you wait in an emergency situation just because, and to me, I feel like it's because of their race, you know? They don't care about black or brown people, period. So that's just my thought in it, because it shows, you know? So unfortunately, those brothers lost their life. You know, those men lost their life. So it's really sad, tragic. But the interesting part is now that this has happened, now a bunch of racist people are blaming black America and black politicians and black people for this shipwreck. And like, how the world can you blame? They're like, well, you got a city ran by a black mayor and a black this and that. And they making so many racist remarks on Twitter, Twitch, all that stuff. Like, they're going in on the black politicians. They're going in on them.
Wow.
Wow.
We get blamed for everything. Wow.
But how you get blamed for an accident? Like, they're going in.
Wow. We get blamed for a bridge. Unbelievable.
Yeah, a bridge. Disgusting.
Well, thank you, my sister. I'm glad because I always look at what they write, but you just brought about some other clarity, which you always do, and this is why we always like to get the boots on the ground kinds of reports and information, because it's definitely not the same thing you're going to read in the paper and see in the news on
the TV. Exactly. And then the same time, sister, another detail I'm not going to share with you about the collapse, the accident and whatnot, was they had, like, you know, all the police that be down there for MTA, all it would have took was one of those police things to ride real fast on the bridge and say, hey, y'all, get off this bridge now, you know, and start telling them to get in with them, or just making them get, literally, they sat up there talking. And I'm going to send you, matter of fact, since what I do is I will send you the actual police call so you can hear how calm they were talking about a certain situation after they were, you know, when they shut it down so other people couldn't get in there. But then those brothers, the whole trucks and everything, like cement trucks, they died in these cement trucks. It's horrible. It's just terrible, but that's what they do in America. So.
America.
America, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so.
So I have a question. So it's a cargo ship. What was they carrying it? I wasn't too sure on that.
Oh, yeah, so it was a cargo ship that was kind of like last day. Then they kind of say, like, it had some type of hazardous chemicals now to say, but it was kind of like a bunch of supplies and stuff like that. And it was just like, what is it? But it was definitely a cargo ship. It was kind of a bunch of materials and stuff. But with another interesting fact that they're not really talking about, it's weird that one of the persons that was on the ship was an inspector. Why would an inspector be on the ship?
That's ridiculous.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Falling out of
the business.
So,
right.
Wow.
Yeah, but they said the inspector was on the ship, and then they're showing, like, new parts of the video where, as before the ship even hit it, you see, like, smoke coming off top of it. And they're just saying, like, they don't know what this seemed like. It's like, but you have a lot of conspiracy people out here, but they just thinking that it was intentionally done. But it's just sad and tragic all the way around the board, but definitely sad.
Wow.
Because if you look at the video, it looked like, because at first the boat even though it kept going on and off, but it was weird because when it was going straight, then all of a sudden it made a whole U-turn while I was losing power and crashed right into that part that connects the bridge together. And I thought that was very interesting.
Right, right. Yeah. How many people died?
So only 6 people died. And that was what a construction was. That's what they're saying. That's the count that they get, because they're saying, like, they don't know if it was, like, another car, but they think they're looking at some of the video footage. But when they tell me stuff like, we don't know type of thing, it leaves one to speculate that it could have been, like, one of the cars that might have made it onto the bridge before they actually closed it down. But they're saying, for the most part, it could have been more fatalities, but they saying they still don't know, like, how many, because at first, and it was weird because at first they kept reporting that 20 people was missing, and then quickly, like my count went from 20 to 6 people, and it was just only the construction workers that got murdered. Well, they were young, like young men, like 26, some in their 30s, like I think the oldest one may have been in their 40s or something. They were all young men that died, literally.
Mm-hmm. I want you to know something. Mama Condi, and I think she's over in our Zoom room, in our blog, on our podcast. But Mama Condi, as soon as she heard that there was something happening in Baltimore and there was a crash and all of that, I think she called me like 7 o'clock in the morning or some stuff. And she said, I'm just calling because I know this happened in Baltimore and I'm just checking on Sister Tawanda.
Yeah, she called. It was so sweet because she straight called me. I woke up to her message first. I was like, bless her heart. She definitely called, but it just sounded weird. But then it's another weird thing that we don't pay attention to the television, but the Simpsons always predict everything, and they got the prediction about the ship. They got that. They showed an episode about the ship crashing.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called Leave the World Behind on Netflix. I was going to actually check it out tonight.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. End of the world. But we have to be prepared more than ever. So
that's
why we have to have all an emergency crisis. Because when it happens, we can't be sleep at the wheel for that one.
Say that again. Say that part again. Yes. Sisters, real quick, I just want to ask y'all one quick question, because since I've been calling you, and it seemed like me and you can't connect. It was like, I'll be like, sis, call me, then you'll call me back, and my phone going dead. But I wanted to ask you, sis, did you hear all the stuff that's going on with the Nickelodeon stuff? Did you hear
OMG, absolutely.
That is sick. That's disgusting.
That's
crazy. Like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, all that trafficking on the child, all that,
But, you know, it's been kind of, things have been said about that over the years, including, I remember hearing about SpongeBob, that, you know, there was some kind of strange stuff going on with SpongeBob, and then the pink dinosaur, they said there was something strange going on with that. So we've been getting kind of indications just in the programming, but, you know, with all this stuff with Diddy and, I mean, the whole industry, for the most part, is just, you know, satanic. It is. Just is.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Yes, indeed. It's so complete.
Well, that's what Hollywood is. I mean, we're actually out of here in L.A. So that's normal. What happened, you know, with Weinstein and everything that's happening there, the Me Too movement, that's what Hollywood is about. So this is not a shopper. They have pedophiles that they hire because that's part of their ritual.
That's right.
Step away from that bondage, right? And have some positive influences in film and video. But you have thousands of people that come through Hollywood every week for that dream. 90% of them don't make it. These young girls, these young boys, they go through these rituals. And these groomers are shows like Nickelodeon, right?
Right.
What do we do? Do we allow our children to be exposed to that, or do we create our own content?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it all leads to us. You know, but I hope whoever they accuse them of, the person who hired them, should be under the jail. That's just
that part.
Opinion. Yeah.
Right. Don't accuse. Right.
All right, family. Well, listen, we're going to close this session out. And before we do, I just want to say to my sisters, all of you, how much I love you. Brothers, too, but sisters, to close out for sisters, I just want to extend, my love to you as sisters. I just appreciate you all so very much. And I want to close out with something that I ran across. And, you know, for whatever reason, I've always felt a little tinge in my heart for Whitney Houston. But when I saw this particular clip that I want to share with you all, I thought of all of you as well, all of us as black women in particular. So I want to close out with this thought. Brother Lumumba, let me see. Hold on 1 minute. Can you give me sharing? Do I have I think I already have sharing opportunity, right? Let me check for a moment.
Yes, you should be good.
Okay. Give me a moment, family. I am going to, it said host disabled participant screen sharing. It's saying it's disabled.
Okay, let me double check now.
Okay. Again, I want you all to listen. Hopefully we can get it up. I want you to listen to the words. Because it certainly lends to as black women. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Can I ask you a question really fast?
Mm-hmm.
So did you hear the latest news about what Biden is calling Easter now?
I did.
I seen it. Yes.
What's he calling
Easter
it?
No longer Easter. It's a transgender holiday.
What?
Right.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Let me take a seat.
OMG. Wow.
I'm going to get our holiday. We can really make our whatever holiday.
Oh, that reminds me. Before we close out, family, please put in the chat, okay. We're going to do the polling again. We've been doing it over the past few years. So, again, there's three black women. Which one would you suggest? Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, or Rosa Parks? So please put your suggestion in the chat. In the meantime, hold on 1 minute. In the meantime, I want you to hear this. And again, think of our sisters when you hear it. And in some instances, think of yourself. Check this out. Oops, hold on. Here we go.
I'm stuck with my soul. I had no way to turn. I had no way to go. Lost sight of my dreams. I didn't see the end of me. I thought I'd never make it through. I had no hope to hold on to. I thought I would pray. I didn't know my own strength, and I crashed out and I stumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. I didn't know my own strength, but by my darkest hour, my hope kept me alive. I picked myself back up, hold my head up high. I was not built to pray. I didn't know my own strength. Oh. Now open my heart. I found the light to light my way out of the dark. Now all that I need here is. Thank you. didn't know my own strength, and I crashed out and tumbled, but I did not crumble. I got through all the pain. Oh, I didn't know my own strength. I said, "Get me alive." I took my suffering up. I bore my pain and cry. I was not built to break. I didn't know my own strength. I was not built to break. I got to know my own strength.
All right, all right. You were not built to break. We were not built to break. We know our own strength. I just want to leave you all with that thought for tonight. I think that was more than appropriate. What do y'all think, sisters?
That was beautiful. Yes.
Yes. I think it speaks for itself. So I thank you all again. It's been another wonderful, wonderful dialogue. And talk with you tomorrow. Have a blessed one. Back to you, Brother Lumumba.
Good night.
All right.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Getting ready to close out. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you for your time, energy, and effort, dedication, determination, and discipline. I want to bid you world truth, justice, peace, love, freedom, prosperity, and power. I want to say let us all continue to strategize, organize, and mobilize. I want to give thanks to the ancestors and the elders, to the Most High Creator Creatures, those who have paved the way, shed blood, sweat, and tears for us to be here today. So I want to say from Moses to the sender, together we will win. All right, peace and love, family.
Ashe.
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 Onward.